Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Off the Shelf for Saturday, May the 8th, 2010. It is another beautiful day here in Philadelphia. I am just so happy after the interview. I'll go ahead and get my day started and hope that you are starting off with a wonderful day. For those of you early birds who get up early on Saturday, or those of you who try to sleep in a little later after working, even those of you might have to work later on the weekend, that you're enjoying this beautiful day. And I thank you so much for joining us here this morning on Off the Shelf. It is truly, truly, even though I say this often, it truly is a joy to have you, the particular, special, specific listener here with us at Off the Shelf today. I'm your host, Denise Turney, of course coming to you live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the city of brotherly love. And as always, I thank you for your support. And I encourage you not to let another day pass before you pick up a copy of Long Walk Up. Long Walk Up is a powerfully moving, inspirational book that you need to add to your book collection. You can pick up a copy of Long Walk Up today by visiting www.chistel, and that's spelled chistell.com. You can also pick up a copy of Long Walk Up at amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Walmart, and bookstores online and offline. If you don't see it on the shelf, just ask the clerk for it, and they can order a copy for you because it's carried by some of the largest distributors of books in the world. And now I'm going to introduce, waiting for him to dial in, the guest that we are going to have on our show today when he arrives. He actually is someone who creates. He's an artist, and he creates in the motion picture arena. His name is Paris Reeves. Paris Reeves is a producer, a director, and a writer, and he has worked on films such as Ransom, Leaders, When Thugs Cry, and Trust. And he has also worked on The Witch of Portobello. And the way I came about knowing a little bit more about this film was, for those of you who've read Paul Coelho's book, he had a bestseller called The Alchemist. And in The Alchemist, he tells the story of a little shepherd boy, or maybe I should say a young shepherd boy. He lives in another country, and somebody comes up to him and tells him about, they say they would exchange, give him some coins or some money if he would give some of his sheep, and he, of course, was very attached to his sheep. And the story goes on. It's a fictional account. It kind of reminds me a little bit of some of the stories that you would read, some of the biblical accounts that are, you know, used to get us to understand some of life's truths. So it's a fascinating story. There's one little question that's asked of the shepherd boy, sends him on his trail, and he meets different people, just like we do in our lives. He meets different people in his journey, and the choices that he makes affect, you know, the next step that will happen in his life. He doesn't know that at the start. And then he goes in search of the alchemist. I'm going to see if this is Paris Reeves on the line now joining us. Paris? Paris?
Hello?
Is this Paris Reeves?
Well, this is actually Kenya. I am one of the creative producers for Hawk.
Oh,
Films.
Do you know if he's not on yet? Can you get a hold of him?
What? I sure can. I will try back.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Uh-huh.
All right. Okay, that was one of Paris Reeves' assistants. She's going to go and try to get him to remind him about the show. I know as an artist and a business person, sometimes our schedules get so busy, and he is, I think he's in production now as a filmmaker, that sometimes our schedules get so busy we can forget things. She actually is the assistant who reached out to have him on Off the Shelf, and I'm just absolutely delighted to have him on here. And again, he has worked with Paul Coelho, and I was telling you about the book The Alchemist, which was a New York Times bestseller book. I saw it when I was in New York City at Barnes & Noble and got a copy. A fascinating book, a fascinating book. Let's see if that's him on the line now. Paris?
Hello?
Paris?
Yes, this is Paris.
Oh, so delighted to have you. I was just talking to our listeners here at Off the Shelf for the last, maybe, I don't know, 5-6 minutes, introducing you and telling them about the book The Alchemist, which you had worked with the author Paul Kolo to do the movie The Witch of Portobello, which is a fascinating movie, and giving them some background on you, that you are a producer, director, and writer, and you've worked on films such as Ransom Games, Leaders, When Thugs Cry and Trust, and also I was telling them about The Alchemist, being that you worked on Paul's book, adapting it to film, The Witch of Portobello, and that you have over 16 years of experience in the film industry. And for our listeners here at Off the Shelf, Paris Reeves is also a graduate of Chicago State University, where he majored in criminal justice. And you can check out Paris online at Hawk Films. And this is a word, an easy one to remember, HAWKFILMZ.com, HawkFilms.com. That's the home of Paris Reeves, where you can learn about the upcoming films and projects that he's working on. That said, welcome to Off the Shelf, Paris. Are you there? Paris? Paris? I'm not sure what happened to our connection. So I'm going to wait for Paris to join. Paris, as soon as you join on, just say something. As soon as you can hear me. I'm not sure what the problem. We're having a little technical difficulty here this morning, but we are going to move on and hope and trust and pray that it irons itself out. These type of things happen in life. He dropped off and may try to dial in again. We know that you can have problems with either a cell phone or a landline phone, but we're not going to let that disturb our flow. We're just going to keep going the same way that we have to do in life. Each of our listeners here at Off the Shelf, things come up that are unexpected or technical difficulties, and you just keep staying the flow and you just keep right on moving, which is really somewhat of what The Alchemist is about. And I'm curious to talk to him about his experience in working with Paul Kolo, the different decisions that this shepherd boy makes that happen, you know, in the present moment, what a point of power is, those things that happen to him, then the decisions that he makes, they impact the very next thing that happens in his life, and so on and so on and so on. And also, Long Walk Up does the same thing. And that is true for all of us. I think that Paris is back on the line, and I thank our off-the-shelf listeners for hanging in here with us today. This is going to be a great show. Paris. Paris. Hello. Okay. I guess we're learning something here this morning. But just to tell you, in Long Walk Up, it's just like The Alchemist, and actually what is happening here on the show this morning, it appears that things that you don't expect, just like the shepherd boy and The Alchemist didn't expect. He probably thought he was going to be a shepherd all his life, just like whatever you're doing in your career field or as an artist. You might think that the situation you're in, even if it's something you don't want, it could be that you were recently unemployed or what have you, or some situation you're in, you might think that it's going to last forever. But the choices that you can make, somebody just may have suddenly appeared, and it may seem something simple, or something may happen, something simple in your life that you could say yes or no to. And depending on what you say, you could either stay in the same situation that you're in, or your whole world open up and begin to change. And the same thing happens in Long Walk Up with an unfortunate event that happens to the young girl, Mulliken, when her mother passes away after her father has passed. She lives in East Africa, where it's a part of the world. It's not the only part where malaria has come and taken many people's physical experiences and cut them short very, very quickly. And so Mulliken's mother is impacted by this, and she has siblings who have since passed on before from different things that have happened in that region. And she grows up in a community, what some people refer to as a tribe, and they're like nomads. They settle down into an area, and then when the area the water dries up or the food starts to become scarce or just not there at all, then they pack up and they move on, which is something that is maybe beneficial for us to do. A lot of times we get in a situation where even it could be a relationship where things dry up, and instead of sometimes seeing that maybe it's best to move on, we just try to cling and cling and cling and get every little piece of thing out of that. Or a saying I used to hear when I was a kid was, it's no sense in beating a dead horse. Let's go see if we can get Paris on the line again. Paris? Paris?
This is actually Kenya calling in. I am one of the creative producers for Hawk Films. He had to wrap up a shoot this morning, but he was hoping to be complete by 10 a.m. I am trying to reach him now, but I can answer any questions about the production company or things that you guys need until he gets on the line.
Yeah, he's gotten on, I think, maybe twice. I heard him briefly. Then I think it was a technical difficulty. He dropped off and then maybe tried to call in two more times. I know you had requested the interview. Hello?
Yes, I did.
And I know you had requested the interview, and I'm excited to have him on here with our guests, our listeners here at Off the Shelf. So I was really delighted to when you reached out to schedule him for the interview. I can ask you the questions, but they really were more directed toward him and not just the studio. But we can move forward
okay.
That way. We can then hopefully he will join us. My first question I have to skip. I was going to ask him how he got interested in criminal justice, from criminal justice to film. Let's see. I got to look through my questions to see what I can ask you in place of him. Let's see. The Hawk Films, that's based on how the Hawk Bird does what it needs to do in order to soar. I know that Hawk Films was founded in 1993, and I was going to ask Paris, and you can answer, I suppose, in his place. How long had he been working in the movie industry before he created Hawk Films, and was there a special event that caused him to start his own movie company?
He started in high school. He took a screenwriter's class. And from there, he won a contest that the class was having, and it was about a Western. So he had wrote a Western screenplay. And from there, he pretty much moved forward with it. So from that point on, he moved forward into filmmaking.
Okay. Do you know if he started, when he started in the movie industry, did he start writing, directing, or producing first? He seems to be more on the directing and production path now, but do you know how he started out his career? Well, did he start producing, directing, or did he start out writing?
He started off writing, and then he went straight into directing at that point. And when it comes to producing, we all have projects that need a little extra help with funding. So that's all a producer does, is get us the finances for the actual production. So
okay.
That comes along with the territory, but his main focus is directing.
Okay. Well, that leads sort of into the next question, which for our listeners, we do a little different step here this morning. So just bear with us. Like I always say on Off the Shelf, you never know what's going to happen. Sometimes a guest might not dial in at all. Sometimes in late. Or this is a different thing. But we are going to stay in the flow. And this is going to be a great show. And I think, let me see if Paris did join us. Let me see if he's on the line. Paris?
Hello.
Hi. I was talking to your assistant. She was answering some of the questions, helping out. I'm going to see, I'm going to just put her on hold. And I thank her tremendously for mm-hmm. She's looking out for you, Paris. You got a good assistant. You're gonna have to do something for her, Paris. You got
yes,
a good
I
one.
Yes, I am. Because I'm having troubles with this with my phone and my other phone. So I have no
idea.
She looks like I got a connection now.
She gonna have to get a raise, Paris.
Mercy.
She's like the lady on Iron Man. She looking out for Tony Sparks, man. I'm telling you, she is sitting there answering these questions for you. Like I'm like, my goodness, she must be his sister. She coming to bat for you. She got some flowers coming or something's coming
yes,
her
yes,
way.
She do.
All right, thank
she's
you.
Amazing.
She is an amazing woman, and so I thank
yes,
her. I'm gonna put her on hold, and then we're gonna talk to you. So I thank you for continuing to try to get on, and I thank her tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so to our off the shelf listeners, we're gonna keep moving with Paris. I was talking about the different things that happen and how you got to stay in the flow and just keep moving. I wanted to ask you how did you go from an interest in criminal justice when I was reading your bio. All the way over to being interested in film. That seems like an incredible leap. How did you jump over from that, from an interest in wanting to go on a career in criminal justice to now wanting to go into film? What caused you to make that switch?
Well, you know, I started off just being an artist, like drawing cartoons and drawing people. That's like in my younger days. So when I went to college, criminal justice was a field that I just wanted to get into because of the laws, and I just wanted to help and change. So I had to take an elective course, and I took a screenwriting class. So when I took the screenwriting class, the only thing I had to do was write like a little 10-minute page. I ended up writing a whole script based off another novel, Law West of Fort Smith, and it was a Western. So that's where my interest in the movies came about.
Okay, and that is just in line with what I was talking about here at the start of the show, how things come up, like in the book The Alchemist by Paul Coelho, who you worked with, how things come up, you don't even expect it, and you may think a situation is going to continue forever, like if somebody, one of our listeners here, was unemployed or in a situation they would prefer not to be in, and maybe even one they love being in. Things come up, and you can make a choice about something, yes or no. It can either change your whole life and your whole world open up, or you can just stay in that same situation. It's just amazing to me, and you just sort of confirm that, how little things happen, and your whole life just start moving down a different path. How did you raise the finances as an independent film? And I really, really admire what you are doing because I know it takes more than a few bucks to create a film. How did you raise the finances to start Hawk Films?
I drained my piggy bank. I got all my pennies. And after that, then I just started begging. I'm begging family members and friends. And then they have to just, like, believe in you. You have to believe in your vision.
Yeah.
And and I've always been the artsy kind of guy. So once I started begging, that's how I was able to raise enough capital to do a film that's entitled When Thugs Cry, which is out through Lionsgate.
Okay. Before we go in, I do want to talk about your films. I wanted to ask you before that another question. What did you learn from the process of creating your own movie company that you share with our listeners here at Off the Shelf who are thinking about starting their own movie company that could help the process be a little bit smoother for them?
Well, you know, they got so many. My sister Kenya could probably answer this much better, but they got so many options available, like on the internet. So, first you think about your company, then you think about what you want to do, and then you just go to the internet to start your business. It's not as hard as people may say it is. It's really quite easy.
Okay. Maybe somebody might go over and check out your website at Hawk Films to learn a little bit more about how you did it, so that if they're thinking about here at Off the Shelf listeners doing it themselves. And again, Paris Reeves is at Hawk Films, Hawk ElmZ.com. I'm thinking about the, I can't think of his name just now, the guy who said he used up all his credit cards and he started a movie back in the 1980s and it actually did pretty well. I don't know why I'm thinking Robert Townsend. Maybe that's who it was, but he created
I think he did it. I think Spike Lee did it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did it off of his grandmother's credit card. And that's what he did. She's Gotta Have It. And that was his first, that was like his first film. And there's a lot of people don't drain people's credit cards to make things happen. And I'm one of them.
Oh, okay, then. With Trust. Well, you said the Trust and Thug's Cry. That was the first movie that you made. And then I wanted to ask you, when did you create the first movie that you made? And what was the process of creating that first movie like for you?
See, the first movie, which was initially entitled Backstabber, I was approached with that project while I was in college. And that's when I wrote the screenplay, and then I just started off. I think I took another class. I took like a little film production class, shot a little film, took it to these guys. They liked it, and that's how the movie now, which is entitled Trust now, was formed. We all got together, and we was first-time filmmakers, and read. So I did a lot more reading books. I was a little bit more technical savvy than they. And then we did the project, and a couple of years later, it got picked up.
Oh, my goodness. You do make this sound so easy, but I it's probably your passion for creating film. When you were a little boy, did you want to grow up and be a filmmaker, or is this just something that came totally out of the blue when you had that project to do when you were in school?
See, like I said, I think I was really animated as a kid. And and as I said before, I used to draw cartoons. I was into the comics and just drawing people, and besides being animated. So I guess all of that incorporated when I went to college and wrote the screenplay is what turned my world around into filmmaking.
Okay. A lot of your early films, Trust, When Thugs Cry, and Ransom Games, they seem like they're focused on an inner-city lifestyle and they're set in inner-city environments. And I want to ask you, in what ways are your early films based on your experiences of growing up in Chicago? Do you find yourself sort of creating or directing, producing, or working with films that sort of emulate your experiences of growing up in Chicago?
Right. You know, when you write a film, you write from life experience, you know. And I grew up in the neighborhood of Inglewood on the south side, of course. I went to Inglewood High School. There was a lot of darkness, and you know, just living around an urban area, you experience so much. So then you incorporate all of that stuff into like your projects or into your vision, or you just find yourself doing it anyway, because that's what you're, I guess, accustomed to. You know, when I did The Witch of Portobello, that was, you know, and it was a different light for me. It was just a different aspect. It's a different vision. There's a little bit more study than I had to do to create a piece like that.
Okay, I want to talk about the movie Leaders that you created, and when I was doing a little research for this interview, and I was reading up on Leaders, and at different places on the internet, it sounded like the movie was a cross between Lean on Me and Above the Rim, that from what I read at the website Hawk Films and other research I did on. I want to ask you, how does Leaders, the film Leaders, how does it mirror those two movies, and when do you plan to release Leaders?
Leaders, I'm still going through some fixing and, you know, going through a process with Leaders. So I don't have like a release date, but Leaders is basically about a film about peer pressure and decision making. Kid has to choose between God or have to choose like the life on the street, which so many of our kids are like faced with today. So so that film was created about a year and a half ago, and we're still putting a lot of things together. The director of that film. I co-directed the film. The director of that film passed away last year.
Oh.
So I'm doing a lot of other things to try to get it to his wishes and things. So I do expect a release date soon. I just don't have one yet.
Okay. When I looked read up on it, it was the type of movie I definitely would want to watch. And these young people seem like they're either in their late teens or early 20s, something that not only people in that age group but also adults could watch and enjoy, because as adults we still have, you know, we face with choices every day as well. And just to see the impact that the choices that we make have on our lives. I have to congratulate you on the movie you worked on, The Experimental Witch Project. It made it into, for off-the-shelf listeners, Paris Reeves' film, The Experimental Witch Project, made it into the top 14 finalist list out of 6,000 movies at the International mm-hmm. Film Competition. So that is amazing. Congratulations. And this is the movie that was based on Paulo Coelho's book. Is that correct?
Paulo Coelho, right. He's the author of The Alchemist.
Oh, my goodness, right. Yes. Oh, what a book.
The name of the book that I adapted chapter 9 from is The Witch of Portobello.
Yes. And I wanted to ask you, did you meet him? He's a phenomenal, well-respected author. Did you meet him? And if so, what was it like meeting him and working with him?
Well, I've never met him because he's over in Brazil, and he's mm-hmm. done a lot of work over there. But I've talked to him through email. You know, get receiving the congratulations, and then what's next for the film and all of that. So, and he's a brilliant guy. He's real humble. He actually talks to his fans. If you go on his blogs and stuff like that, he'll answer questions. He's really approachable. So,
when you read The Alchemist, he seems like he would be that way. He seems like a very guy, really in tune more to the universe and spirit. That's the way he comes across to me. So I'm not surprised that he would. He just sees every human as equally the same. We created by a great source,
right.
So none of us is better than the other or less than the other. So why not talk to people who talk to you rather than to ignore, you know, everybody except a certain few people, which doesn't make sense. We all equally valued. And you, when I was doing the research for this interview, I noticed that it seemed like, I'm like, this guy is really busy. Like, you seem like you work on a new movie every year. Do you,
right.
Are you working on something like every year? I was just amazed. Is this something that you plan to do, or is it just something that's happened naturally on its own?
Well, you know, working is good. So working is good. So it seems that I get a couple of projects every year. I'm thankful for that, to be blessed in that way. But you know, me and my team, we have a slate of projects just in case things don't come our way. We have things that we want to do, and we do have some upcoming projects this year on top of some things that we already done this year. So.
Okay.
Things are moving, and it's pretty good. So, and we're thankful.
Okay, I want to get to that after I talk about some of your films, about getting them, how you get a film into the theater, which is something that even Tyler Perry to this day says he sometimes it kind of frustrates him, and he still has to work hard to get his movies on a higher number of screens. But before that, I wanted to ask you, you worked on a film, The Cycle, with the FAM Entertainment Theater Company, and that sounds very interesting. I encourage our listeners again here at Off the Shelf to go check out Paris Reeves' work at Hawk Films, HawkFilmz.com. And read up on the different films that he's worked on and in the Hawk Films, his film company, and his bio. I think you will be fascinated. So going back, you had worked on The Cycle with the FAM Entertainment Theater Company, and that sounds so interesting. The backdrop for the movie is Chicago. I wonder, why did you set this film, The Cycle, in Chicago, and do you plan on making more films that are based in a city or perhaps based in another city or even another country?
Well, I definitely am apt to like shoot out of the country and in any other place else, but I've done all my work in Chicago. And The Cycle was a touring stage play, So the play took place in October of 2009. So my company, we filmed it. We filmed some other things, some aspects of the play, and that's when we got with Sam Entertainment, of course, and now we're putting together almost like a little documentary type of reality thing for the play, and turned it into like a documentary type of film.
Now, so I assume your movies are made, they go into like DVD format. Where can our listeners get copies of your films? Like, they want to get a DVD copy. Where could they get a copy of your film so they can watch it at home?
You can purchase copies of my film basically at any major store, like a Walmart or a Target, or if you want to go on the internet, you can go to Amazon.com, or you can go to the distributor itself, Lionsgateshop.com. That's their library. You can go in there and purchase When Thugs Cry. MaverickEntertainment.com or .cc. You can go there and purchase my work. But it's available nationwide. So if you look it up, or you can just type up my name, Paris Reeves, or the film itself, it'll direct you to the many venues that it's available.
I'm so proud of you. I'm like you my son or something. Just to hear like an independent filmmaker, I think independent artists, they have more of a free reign. I mean, every artist has this, but I think they have take more of a courage, or that's more of a priority, I find, with a lot of independent artists, to move away from the mainstream and to create something that's truly just coming creatively from within them. And that's something that I really enjoy about independent artists. Even though their name might not be splashed across the cover of every magazine, their work is more authentic, but it's just different. And I appreciate the work that independent artists put out. Without giving away the whole story to the play, can you tell us what the cycle is about?
I sure can. It's about four women who have different cycles in their lives. If it's from molestation to intoxication, and I won't say the other lady's problems, like I said, without giving away too much. But but it's basically about their challenge and how they overcome, how they use each other, comfort each other, and basically there's a spiritual element in it as a resolution for the film.
Okay, and that seems like that's another theme that's coming up in the work that you actually create. I wanted to ask you again, choices and the outcome of those choices, and some type of a peaceful or rewarding resolution, depending on the decisions that the people in the film have made earlier in their lives. If you were making this play into a film, I know you said you're doing like a documentary on it, but if it was to go up on let's say, at movie theaters all around the world, and you had to select actresses and actors to see portrayed in the cycle to bring it to life on the big screen, who would be some of the actors or actresses that you would pick to portray in, to appear in the cycle?
Wow. If I had my choice, I would definitely try to use Taraj P. Henson.
Okay.
She was in Hustle and Flow.
Yeah.
I would definitely choose her. I would choose Kenya Renee, because she was already in the play. She did a fabulous job, so I would definitely bring her back.
Okay.
Some more people like Paula Patton, who's emerging. Regina King, who does some stage plays now. So a couple of more people, but if I had to name a few, those would be a few.
And you did that off the top of your head so quickly. I wanted to ask you next to go into the next question and maybe also offer some tips to our listeners here at Off the Shelf who want to get involved in acting. How do you, Paris, you know, when you see the films and they show you actors coming in, reading their lines, and, you know, acting as though they are the character just for maybe a scene or two, how do you go about selecting actors and actresses? Do you sit in at the back of a stage and then each call an actor up and you watch them read lines and then you just select there? How do you go about selecting the actors and actresses who appear in the films that you work on?
Well, that's not a technical process, but it is a process because you want to make sure that you cast right. You want to make sure that you don't cast out of content. You know, although an actor or actress might have this kind of status, probably you definitely want to make sure you just don't want to put them there because of that, because they might just not fit that role. So it's a technical procedure to make sure that you choose the right person to execute the right content. So you choose a venue, then you have them. It just depends on the director. They might do monologues, they might read from the screenplay, you might do something totally different. So it depends on the process, it depends on the project.
That is an eye-opening response, thank you, because I'm sitting here thinking about actors like Denzel Washington, actors like Alfred, I hope I'm saying her name right, Alfred Woodard, and these are people whose range is so broad that I would think that they could do anything. So when you say that you got to make sure you cast right, I always think that if the actor and actress just knows the acting, the technique of acting itself, they could act in any role. But from hearing you, that is not the case. That really like blew my eyes. I thought any actor, actress, if they know how to act very well and they're very skilled, that you could put them in any role, and not every actor and actress. Go ahead.
Yes, if you ever walked away from a film, but like, you know, that was fine, that was good, or you know that, but something just didn't feel right. So you'll feel it. Because, well, you should feel it if you put the film together right. That's everything. All the things was right. Precious was right. You know, she put Monique in that role. Now, they just put another person in that role. I ain't going to say any names. You'd be like, well, they really couldn't probably did a better job.
But
she really fit that. You know, some people, Halle Berry in a role. You know, too pretty, too, you know. Even if she did a great job in one of those films where she was all cracked out and things like that. So it just depends. It really depends.
Okay. For Off the Shelf, so you're kind of taking a chance, I guess, as a film director, that this person is going to work. You got to trust your instincts. But for our Off the Shelf listeners who want to get involved in film as an actor or actress, I'm told this is an industry that's is tough to break into. But what tips could you give them that might help them break into the industry?
Well, you have to be passionate. You have to be passionate about what you want to do. That's the main thing. And then if you are, then you would. Then there's a certain amount of research that you have to start executing. You have to get on the MySpaces and the Facebooks and talk to people that's already in the business. You have to place yourself in it, because they're not. What's that saying? You know, if you want a job, it's not just gonna come knocking at your door. I forgot who a comedian did that. Knock, knock, knock. Who is the job? That's not gonna happen. You got to get out.
Yeah.
Go out there and work.
Yep. Yes. Woo, yes, that is so true. Man, you preaching now when you said that. That is so true. I want to talk next about writing films. But first, I want to let our listeners here at Off the Shelf who might have just joined us or who have been with us from the beginning, and I thank you so much and thank Paris Reeves, who we are our featured guest here today on Off the Shelf. His amazing assistant. She put me in mind of Tony Sparks' assistant. She must have a cape on her back. So I truly thank her as well. She is a phenomenal, phenomenal woman. We are speaking with the one and only Paris Reeves. He is a producer, director, and writer. He has worked on films such as Ransom Games, Leaders, When Thugs Cry, and Trust. He has also worked on a film adaptation of the book The Witch of Portobello, and that's adapted from the best-selling writer Paulo Coelho's book. And he is the author of The Alchemist, New York Times best-selling writer. So that's speaking volumes. Paris Reeves has over 16 years of experience in the film industry. He's a graduate of Chicago State University, where he majored in criminal justice. And then he had a project, and it took him into his passion, which is film. Paris Reeves is online, and I do encourage all of our listeners to visit him and bookmark him, because this man, I kid you not, is putting out a film what seems like once a year. He is at Hawk Films, HawkFilmz. Again, that's HawkFilmz.com. Please check him out. Bookmark his website. You can keep up with him there. And also on the social networks, he did say that you can get his films and most major stores, Walmart, Kmart. His films are distributed through Lionsgate, which anybody familiar with that knows that's a major, major distributor. And you can also go online and type in his name, Paris Reeves, PARRISREAVES, and his films that come up, and look for online websites or retailers that will have his book, so you can purchase it online. And now I want to go back and I want to talk to Paris about writing films, because he's done it all. He's written, produced, and directed films with his amazing team. I wanted to ask you, how different is writing films, Paris, if you have done this also, if you've written books? How different would you say writing films is from writing a novel?
I would say easy, real easy, because the script is what? About 90 to 100, maybe 220 pages would become like over a 2-hour film. But because each script page is supposed to translate to a minute in film. However, a book, it has just a lot more details. It's just a lot more. I've never written a book. I don't know if that's in the plans later. Hello?
I'm here, but so far so far you haven't, and that's interesting. I didn't know that one page of a script was supposed to translate into 1 minute on the screen. I'm learning things from you, and I'm still in shock that an actor or actress with a broad range couldn't act any character. I don't know. It's gonna probably that's something that'll be spinning around in my head for a while. That was an eye opener, and then I didn't know. Of course, I don't create films. That one page of a script is supposed to translate into 1 minute, you know, on the screen. I've got to ask you this. And I hear a lot of people say this when they go to see a movie that has come out and a popular best-selling book first. And then people go see the film and they'll say, that movie was nothing like the book. I hear a lot of people say the book is always better. I've heard so many people say that. How come, Paris, why do people, when they filmmakers, how come they don't totally keep the film version of the story the same as what's in the book? Why do they change it? Because I hear so many people say this. That didn't happen in the book. This is the way they did it in the book. You go to see a film. Why don't they make them the same?
Because it'll be a serious if you did it just like the book. It'd be that's like Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen King, you see a lot of his books, they be translated into movies. But you see how long the movies be?
Right.
They be real long. Like they be like 6 hours long. So he's like the only person I think that almost translate everything from his books into films. But normal other books, you know, it's impossible to put all the details in a book from the film. And then the film, if someone leaves leaves that way from a film, then they probably haven't done their job, because you have to make sure that you choose the right content from the book, from whatever book it is. You have to make sure you choose the right stuff, especially with substance and with content, with meaning, with purpose, and then you materialize that. If you don't, then you would leave from the film like, okay, the book was better. If you did a great job as a filmmaker, then you'd be like, that was just like the book. Whoa, that was great. So even in a 90-minute film, and the book is 600-700 pages.
Wow. Now, that shows you the work that a filmmaker has to do. I'm thinking about, now, I actually did enjoy the film version of The Color Purple more than I did the book version. That was one movie I could say that about, but I think of other movies like The Pursuit of Happiness. I read the book, The Pursuit of Happiness, and I said, oh, my gosh, the book, it just, you'd have to read that book to totally get his story, because the film focused on the period where he was homeless. But if you read that book, oh, my goodness. Whew,
wow.
Maybe a film couldn't have adapted all that he experienced in his life, but what an amazing, amazing man. Again, I was talking about The Pursuit of Happiness. And I've heard like major motion pictures, I've heard that a team of writers works on a film. For our listeners who might also be interested in script writing, that a team of writers works on a picture. For your films, is that the case? Do you have several writers working on the same film, or pretty much do you write those scripts yourself or only assign it to one other writer?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I recently just got into that with FAM Entertainment. We collaborated with another third party. His name is Dan Hoger. He's based out of California. But we all collaborated on writing a kids' film entitled The Dreamers. So that was different, because normally I'm used to just writing films myself or shooting someone else's script. So
Paris, I can hear your passion and your knowledge in your voice, and I know one day we're going to look up. I'm going to say, I cannot believe I got to interview that guy. I'm telling you, I'll turn on the Academy Awards and I'll say, oh my God, I interviewed him off the shelf.
Hey.
I see that coming for you. You, your passion, and you definitely know what you're doing, and your expertise is coming through. I'm one of these days, watch, I'm going to say that. I mentioned this earlier. Tyler Perry, he's spoken about the challenges that he's had with getting his film on more screens, and he's not the only producer or director who stated that, but it seems to be somewhat of a challenge. A lot of shows, I forget what the number is, how many screens he said a lot of films open at, and then his always open a little lower. So then you got to work harder to generate those ticket sales. As an independent film company, your Hawk Films, how do you go about finding screens to show your films on, even if you only do it at a smaller area or at a major theater? How do you get those? What's that process like of getting a theater to put your film on their screen?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two things. You, as an independent filmmaker, if you want to get your work out there, you want to show it, and definitely you want to show it on the big screen. Well, you have to go to the entity itself, go to the theater. Or the owner, and see if you can either get a limited run at that theater alone. All right, you can get enough publicity there, and then it can just be a domino effect. Because as an independent filmmaker, to get your films out like nationwide or at certain select theaters, the film was probably shown at a festival, received some accolades, and then, you know, they did a limited run just to see how it does. But if you're not like a big name in Hollywood, because even Hollywood people don't even get their films out. You can go to if you ever went to the video stores, you could see movies with Denzel. You're like, whoa, I've never seen that at the theater,
right,
because
yeah.
It wasn't. It didn't make it at the theater.
Oh, okay.
They didn't accept it, or wasn't good enough, even with that star power. But hey, when they went to DVD, it made its money back probably a little bit. And you'll see that a lot with a lot of talent. So getting your film out into the theaters is really, really difficult. As Tyler Perry, you know, he's large in this business.
Yeah.
And he probably only got so many select, now he probably got them all. But when he first started, you know, they probably only did it in the urban areas, you know, a few hundred, you know. But films like Iron Man is going to hit every theater.
Yeah.
Every theater in the...
He was saying that recently, even he sends out like a email to his to people who subscribe to it, and he said he still has that challenge. He still has not gotten his films on as many screens as some other films. He said he still has to really, really, really work hard, and he's not done it yet, but he's still working to do that. So that was an interesting thing, what you just said, and a lot of people don't know. That's why you have to support the film, so then they'll start putting it on more screens, hopefully, and even then it takes some work. Now, I know Vivica Fox, she does also works in film, and she puts hers out directly onto DVD, and she said that's been financially successful for her. So you can also create a film and then just send it straight to DVD, and if you promote it and market it enough, you can make some money that way as well. I wanted to also ask you, Paris, what have you learned about Paris? What have you learned about yourself over the years, through the 16 years that you have been working in film? What have you come to learn about yourself through this process?
That I'm still growing, that there's still a lot to learn and still a lot to do. I still take each project as if it's my first. But I don't consider myself just like technically a master in the game. You know, when you said The Color Purple and how you thought that was the movie was much better than the book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because it was done by master filmmaker Steven Spielberg, who is one of my icons. So.
Okay.
Hello?
I'm here. Steven Spielberg.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you talking about Steven Spielberg? He absolutely is. I mean, he is. You just say his name, and it's like that's a wrap. He is definitely a master in film. Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I want to talk about your team because the what is her? What's your assistant's name on your team? Who was on here earlier? What's her name again?
My name is Kenya Renee.
Kenya, oh, gotta remember
Kenya
that lady. That's the Iron Man 2. That's the Iron Man's assistant right there. That's Tony. We are talking to Tony Sparks, and his assistant's name is Kenya, and she is somebody. She's like that woman in Iron Man 2 who was beating all those guys up. She is she got her stuff together. I have to remember her name. You built a team of professionals around you, and she is an example of just how sharp of a team you built. I want to ask you, how important to your success and to the success of Hawk Films and to the success of Paris Reeves do you think it is that each member of your team, how much of a part of your success and Hawk Film success do they play, and how important is it that a person build a competent team of professionals around them?
It is so important. You know, I was in the military for 8 years in the Navy, and that instilled so much structure and so much discipline in me, and which helps me in my decision making process to form a team of just like hard hitters and serious go-getters. And Kenya Renee is, you know, she's a prime example of that. She already had her own company, Fab Entertainment. We just merged as one to become, you know, to become a bigger force. But it's really important. Teamwork is important. I can't do everything on myself. You know, I definitely need to have a team of hardworking people. And that's how the job is executed. Once you get your team together and you guys all collaborate and it's all on the everything is professional. So it's really important to make sure that you form a formidable team.
and we have five more minutes left here on the interview, this this show here with Paris Reeves, the owner and founder of Hawk Films. And I asked other guests here who own their own companies, who founded a business, how important it is for them to build a professional team. We had Brandi Adamson on, who is the founder of Alive Magazine recently, and I asked her the same thing. And everybody says that it is absolutely critical to your success that you build a competent team of professionals around you, and the fact that you select Kenya to be on your team is just speaks volumes in and of itself. I wanted to ask you next, Paris, what marketing steps? I know you mentioned some of the social medias earlier in the interview, but what marketing steps have you found that work best for you as a filmmaker and as a writer, director, producer? I mean, you just wear so many hats. What steps work best for you to spread the word about your films and increase the exposure for the films that you work on?
Well, you know, who contacted you? Kenya Renee. You got to have right. Kenya Renee's on your team. Mm. You got to have those type of professional go-getters, the people to execute, and that knows exactly your character. They knows exactly what you want to do. They knows your vision, knows your purpose, knows your drive, knows your mission, and she knows that. So she's a marketing person also. So she just does a whole bunch. So she really is like not Iron Man. She's Iron Woman.
she likes Iron Man.
She has her own Iron Woman outfit.
Yeah. Okay.
Really.
Okay.
She's not just an assistant. She goes transform to Iron Woman.
Okay. I got you. All right. Like the woman playing in the Avengers. That was one tough sister. But I said she is really. Yeah. She's got. Okay. I like that. You stepped it up. She's like an Iron Woman. Okay.
Right.
Paris, are you working on? As we only have 3 minutes left, but are you writing on or working on any new material right now? And if so, without giving it away, can you let our listeners here at Off the Shelf know what you're working on?
Right. Our next project is entitled Deacon's Choice. It's a film by it's written by Kenya Renee. Right now, we are in the final stages of finalizing the script. And the film is about, let's just say, adultery. And, you know, when Kenya does projects, she definitely wants to educate. She definitely wants to make sure that she breaks cycles, and she wants to just change people for the better. And that's what the film is geared to do. So we prayerfully we want to start pre-production with that in June or July, and be shooting by August or September.
Okay. Oh, man, you got something on the slate, seems like, all the time. Can you tell our listeners here at Off the Shelf about any upcoming interviews or other public appearances? And I guess when you talk about these film festivals, the public, are they allowed to come to these and watch the viewings, or just professionals in the film industry allowed to show up at those?
I encourage everyone. It's a great experience, whether you're a filmmaker or not, if you just want to just get to go to festivals and go see some independent films and go see some, you know, meet these independent filmmakers and meet their work, because they have a story to tell. They've been through things probably that you've been through. So, you know, they're wonderful outlets and venues for people to socialize and network.
So are you going to be making any upcoming public appearances that our listeners could go out and maybe meet you or go to a festival and see one of the screenings of your films? If so, could you just let us know about some upcoming appearances that you have?
Sure. Let's see. May 13th, 4244 North Milwaukee in Chicago. The name of the venue is Chicago Nightclub, and Capitol Nightclub. And
okay.
I'll be there because I've shot a music video, but the music video is more so, it's six, seven minutes long. It's a networking release party, and it's almost a story in itself. Can you call it a mini movie?
Okay.
So I'll be there. May 20th, you know, I did a film, The Ransom Games, which is with Elise Neal from Hustle and Flow, and Wood Harris from The Wire and Remember the Titans, you know. But those two was in the film. And that will be showing May 20th at the theater on 87th and 87th and Dan Ryan in Chicago also.
Oh.
So those are the first two public appearances that I'll be at this month.
Thank you so much, Parrish. We're coming down to under a minute here. I just want to let our listeners know I did have other questions that I wanted to ask, but we have run out of time. I just so enjoyed this interview with you today, and thank you for taking time out of your busy day. Go and visit Parrish Reeves. He's a producer, director, writer of films like Ransom Games, Leaders, When Thugs Cry, and Trust. And he's worked on a film that he's now working on a documentary on. He's just, his man is just continuously working, 16 years in the film industry. He's worked with best-selling author Paula Colo. He's online at Hawk Films, HAWKFILMZ.com. Please go over and check him out now. He has a phenomenal team, and he's doing phenomenal things. And in closing, I thank our listeners here at Off the Shelf so much for tuning in with us every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. I will see you here next Saturday with another phenomenal guest. Thank you again to Parrish Reeves. Please, please go over and check out his website and bookmark it. Remember that you are so valued, so truly blessed and loved. Bye for now. Parrish, I'll shoot you an email.
Okay.